17,179 days ago saw Newcastle's Jeff Nulty wrap up a League Cup final place with a crucial second leg goal in front of a packed St James's Park. Fast forward to January 2023, and Sean Longstaff does the same at the Gallagher end. Welcome to Wembley, Black and White with Arab News. Fan helping recreate a St James's Park atmosphere in the UAE as part of the Newcastle United Supporters Club Dubai. But first, we meet the sports editor who is no stranger to glory or indeed Wembley. It's Arab News fabulous Ali Khaled, AK. What a week.
Hi, Pete. Thanks for having me again. And first thing is congratulations to you and to all Newcastle fans. Fantastic. You know, we've been expecting this for the last few weeks. I know you were a little bit cautious after all those years, saying, you know, like, I'm not going to count anything, but I was pretty confident even before the first leg. And we did say around just before the FA Cup game again, I was like, maybe this is the game, this is the tie, should we say, this is the competition that Newcastle should focus on. And it's worked out that way. I think it's fantastic. Watched the game the other day. Incredible atmosphere. I've been watching all the videos that have come out after that, people videoing outside the stadium, the noise from a distance and all that. It's absolutely fantastic. And like I said, congratulations to all the fans.
Phenomenal scenes. Okay, now to meet today's guest, James Rafferty, part of those Dubai mags who I mentioned. Loving every minute. James, before we get into Wembley, we've just been talking before we went live. You know, obviously you're hopeful of a ticket, the flights are booked, the hotels are looked at. But listen, give the listeners, because we've got a nice mix of Newcastle and Saudi Arabia. Tell us a little bit about the club here in Dubai and how it got off the ground.
Yeah, sure. No problem at all. Thanks, Peter. So the Dubai Mags, to be honest, is something what we've had going for years. We started off in 2011. Very, very few members. It was faces came, gone. But we've really, really ramped it up this season. Credit to the other members of our committee, Julie, Carly, Wayne, and Neil Blakey as well. I mean, what we've done as a team, we've transformed it really this year. We have our war flags, so we have our own war flags display before the game. We get the flags going, we get the old chants going in the pub. The scenes, it's like being back in Newcastle. Everybody who walks in are blown away with it by the first time they come in. I mean, the first game of the season, we started with probably around about 10 to 15. Mm-hmm. Now we have the bar full. We've had 100 plus. The atmosphere is absolutely tremendous. The place, you feel like you're in Newcastle.
That's what it's all about.
Absolutely amazing. And it's great to get so many Geordies together, and not just Geordies, Newcastle fans together in one place to enjoy the journey we're on.
James, I wanted to ask you, what sort of relationship do you have with the club? Like, is there an official, tie-up with the club between the Dubai Mags and the club itself?
Yes, we do. So this has moved forward at quite a good pace, to be fair. It's a good question. In fact, we had an invite from the club to Saudi Arabia to a Q&A session. Unfortunately, I was at the World Cup, so I missed it. But the guys who went really, really enjoyed it. Amanda Stavely was there. Eddie Howe turned out. A few of the players. Jacob Murphy, Lascelles. It was good. Shola made an appearance. So, yeah, they actually hung around for about 2 hours. The questions, they were just a part of the team. The way they actually interacted with the guys was tremendous. It wasn't one of these, we're sitting on the stage, you answer the questions, and then off we go. They hung around and they really, really interacted well. Brilliant. We give Amanda her a Dubai Mags membership card, which she really appreciated.
What number was she, James?
Pardon?
What number was she?
We kind of tell you that. That's a secret.
Because I took a photo of mine because I think it's number 10 and I sent it to Terry McDermott so he could see.
Terry Mac would love that.
Brilliant stuff.
But yeah,
James, just a quick question there. You mentioned Saudi Arabia. Do you think, I mean, obviously your focus is on Dubai, but we heard from certain fans in Saudi Arabia, they're trying to get something up and running as well over there. Obviously, it's still in early days compared to the Dubai club. But is there any sort of link up with them as well? Like, would you lend your expertise, shall we say, to them?
Of course, absolutely. I mean, we want Newcastle United to grow in the Middle East, and it is growing in the Middle East. Obviously, the ownership change, etc. But yeah, any help what we need from Saudi Arabia, what we can do to assist you boosting your numbers, by all means, just contact us. We're there to help. We're all one. We're all Newcastle fans.
Amazing. On that note, speaking about being one, there'll be more than one at Wembley. I've got to ask you, did you preempt? Did you book beforehand, or did you wait until the referee had the whistle in his mouth and we were at Wembley before you made your plans?
So the hotels, actually, to be honest, we booked the hotels before even the Southampton game. So the hotels been booked for quite some time. The flights, I hung back a little bit.
Yeah.
Look, the form we're in, you just, who's going to beat us? That's the way we're looking at the minute. Who is going to beat us? We've lost one game in the league, which was, to be fair, a very, very strange loss. We should never get beat off Liverpool. Jeff Wed was a slip-up. We changed the team around considerably. Maybe we shouldn't have changed it as much as what we did. But, yeah, I mean, look, the form what we're in, the way the team are playing, the way that... The intensity is the way they play the football. It's just tremendous at the minute.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Listen, just a massive thank you for coming on and giving us a little bit of an idea of what happens here in the UAE with the Dubai Mags. As you say, it's gone from about 10 up to 100. You know, there's the flags in there. You've got your own war flags. You play the music before the games. Absolutely incredible stuff. Please do give our best wishes to Julie, Neil, Carly, and everyone. And thank you for your time today.
James, just a quick question. Will you be carrying your own Dubai Mags flags? You know, will we see them on TV when you get there? When you get to them?
Yeah, so Julie went to the semi-final. She took the flag to the semi-final. There's a picture with Brian Kilcline holding the flag. So, yeah, I'll have a flag at Wembley, 100%. We've got to, yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff. Right. Brian Kilcline, the start of a revolution. Great stuff. James Rafferty there, absolutely incredible. Okay, Ali, it is Wembley. It's on the horizon. I've got to say, looking at the game, as a game, what a semi-final it was for the neutral as well. We spoke on the phone this week, and I do have to say, the two early goals, you know, Newcastle were on easy street, but football doesn't work like that at the top level, no matter who you're playing. And you've got to give Southampton some credit for a really spirited second half performance.
Yeah, I was quite surprised, you know. Again, you know, with all due respect to them, I did think, you know, after the first 5 minutes with the first goal, I thought that was it. You know, it's done. I reckon Newcastle would cruise for the rest of the match. And that looked more likely when Sean Longstaff scored the second after 21 minutes, I believe, you know. So they looked comfortable. But that Shea Adams goal changed things a little bit.
Great goal, and by the way.
Great goal. Yeah, great goal. And I mean, it was a defensive mistake, but, you know, like, he pounced on it and it was a great finish. I'll say one thing, you know, I mean, like, as you say, you know, they do deserve a lot of credit. And had the lead been two goals rather than, had the lead been one goal rather than two going into those last 5 minutes, possibly, you know, I mean, you can't say, you know, if it's, I know it's a massive thing to say, like, if it was only like one goal ahead and Bruno gets sent off, regardless of Bruno getting sent off, if it had been just a one goal lead, I think it would have been quite nervous, you know, and maybe there were nerves anyway, but I think with two goals, you can look back and say, you know, Newcastle were in control, you know, I mean, like, still, you know, like, having built up the three goal lead and being two goals up going into those closing stages, Bruno getting sent off, it could have been a little bit difficult had Southampton pulled back a goal quickly, you know, because as you saw, like, it was about 9 or 10 minutes of stoppage time. You know, it could have got a bit awkward. And then, you know, you, the last thing you want is extra time with a man down. Sure. But I don't think it got close to that. I think Newcastle played it well. And Yeah, and I think Bruno back for the final. He'll have a three-match rest and he'll be back for the final.
Lots to unpack from the week, though. I mean, we're tending to focus on this Wembley euphoria, rightly so, by the way, as I said, you know, 17,000 days, whatever it is. But a major week to unpack, not just with Wembley, but the arrivals of Anthony Gordon and Harrison Ashby, who were displayed to the crowd beforehand. Just as signings, Ali, because I know that you know your football inside out on Premier League. Forget the Everton and the furor that's going on at that club. But what does what do the arrivals of Gordon and Ashby give Eddie Howe?
I mean, I think strength and depth is the obvious thing. You know, we've been saying all along that they do need backups. I've spoken to a lot of Newcastle fans. I speak to you, obviously, and we do this podcast and we speak to the players. And almost everyone says, you know, especially people who watch Newcastle a lot more than me as well, they say, you know, the first team that Eddie Howe puts out, you know, the first maybe 13, 14 players are almost unbeatable at the moment, you know, as James was saying earlier, you know, like they're, you know, you put them up against anyone and you think, feel like they'll get a result wherever they're going in the Premier League or if they're playing at home. But beyond that, I think there's a, you know, there might be a bit of a drop in quality and, you know,
resources.
This is something.
And resources. And
absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and a few injuries as well. I mean, like Callum Wilson and Alexander Isak have missed big chunks of the season with injuries, you know. So I think the first thing is that they needed backups. I think Anthony Gordon, it's a good signing. I think, you know, when he first came out at Everton, I mean, I know for a while last season, I know things might have not have ended well, but you know, for a while last season, they were looking on him as, you know, their new hope, you know. He was the one player that escaped criticism for a long time. So, and we know Chelsea wanted him at some point in the summer, I think. So clearly, you know, there's the potential is there. I think he brings good attacking play to the front, you know, probably, you know, backup of goals. We're always talking about as well, you know, like the rest of the team chipping in with goals. Almiron has been doing that this season, you know, but it does drop off when Callum Wilson's not playing or when Alexander Isak, who hasn't played much, doesn't play. So again, bringing a threat from wide positions, I think two good signings, you know, improve the strength and depth. I was actually even thinking they might even sign even more players, but we did say it will be two to three players. So it's just about right, I think.
Ashby, obviously, an understood. He came in and he said in his first presser that basically, what better way to learn than from England's finest right back? So we can't underestimate that. I agree with you. I would say that if you look at it, we have lost two players and a major player in Jonjo Shelvey, by the way, who I did want to mention. 7 years served at the club and, according to our very own Ali Khaled, probably scored the most crucial goal in Newcastle United's, dare I say, history. Season. But it could be a history-making goal. And Ali Khaled, of course, called that as the most crucial goal. So best of wishes go to Jonjo, who came up, by the way, after signing for Forest, drove back up to watch his teammates go through to that final. And a special mention for Southampton's Adam Armstrong, the little Geordie who was playing in front of the Gallagher, but wasn't on the Newcastle United team that are going to Wembley. So being a Geordie, my thoughts go with him as well. Listen, Ali, I've got a really big question for you this week, and it's something that's been bothering me. Well, not bothering me, but it's a lovely problem to have. And having spoke to a club insider this week, quite high up in the club as well, and without giving away too many secrets, it's no surprise to learn that this accelerated change in fortunes for the two has caught a lot of people out. A Wembley appearance, Champions League, you know, they're ahead of the curve, ahead of schedule. Challenging for these spots within 12 months. How do you see this trajectory continuing, Ali? Because they're almost at a top level now. And having spoken to this guy at the club this week, you know, do they need to step up in the level of player that they're getting? What's next for Newcastle United?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that, you know, reaching cup final is obviously amazing. You know, I've gone on in recent episodes about the League Cup being a great competition. I think, you know, it really has served a lot of managers, you know, who have gone on to have huge success. It's been like their first the first trophy they've claimed, you know, Mourinho being one of them, and Juliet, Liverpool, you know, Benitez's first game at Liverpool was, first cup final at Liverpool was lost to Chelsea, but it was in the League Cup, you know, and Pep Guardiola's first trophy was the League Cup, you know, so it's a great trophy to get under your belt to take you forward. So, and I think we shouldn't, you know, but, you know, going back to your point about the curve, the trajectory, I mean, it's so ahead of what was expected that, you know, this cup final, as fantastic as it is, shouldn't really, like, you know, distract from what's happening in the league, you know? I mean, and I would imagine long-term, everyone inside the club, including Eddie Howe, would be, you know, for the fans and for everyone, winning a trophy has got to be a priority. I accept that. But you, going long-term, you know, finishing in the top four this season would be absolutely incredible, because that just takes everything to the next level. And then, as you just mentioned, you start looking at slightly different level of players. You know, I mean, obviously the first people that came in January of 2022, you know, served the club fantastically well. You know, they Chris Wood might have left, but every single one of those players played their part in the transformation. And but I think you said it yourself, Pete. You know, when there was talk of Chris Wood leaving, and obviously John Joe leaving just before the transfer window, is that you were saying, you know, Chris Wood is not a Champions League player. You know, he's not the player who's going to, you know, maybe get you to the Champions League, and not who's going to play in the Champions League. So once you get to that level, once you go to, you know, and I believe you guys have an unbelievable chance of qualifying for the Champions League this year, then you start looking at a higher caliber of players. So far, I mean, Sven Botman was a fantastic signing. Bruno Guimaraes has been obviously the signing. But Newcastle have yet to, like, really go for sort of a marquee player, someone who's...
Isak? Jury's out?
Not so much.
League level.
Not really. I think he hasn't had a chance yet to show what he's done. I do think he's a quality player and all that. I'm talking more about, like, what Chelsea have done, what you know, going out and maybe signing an 80 or 90 or 100 million, and it's to their credit that they haven't done that, you know, because I think it shows a really, really well planned out transfer policy. But getting into the Champions League, that's when I think maybe those players will start coming into it.
Okay, the reason I ask that question, and it's a big question to answer, so sorry for putting you on the spot, but it's a big question that we all need to, and I know that the club are talking about it, and I know that as a coaching staff are remaining loyal to the players, but owners are possibly looking at the next level. And if you go way back, Kevin Keegan did it. Brian Kilcline arrived at the club. Kevin Sheedy was replaced by Scott Sellers. David Kelly was replaced by Andy Cole. So it's an ongoing thing in football. We know that. But I think that those discussions, the point I'm getting at, are happening earlier. And the reason I ask this is that I hear from a very, very good source that if Newcastle finish in that top four spot, they are in a prime position to open and they will be in the mix for Jude Bellingham.
Wow, yeah. I mean, that would be huge. And why not? I mean, it would make sense, you know, financially it makes sense in terms of being in the Champions League. It makes sense. I mean, like, one of the clubs heavily linked with Jude Bellingham over the last few years is Liverpool, as we know. But, you know, obviously chances are Liverpool are not going to finish in the top four. I mean, it's only halfway through, but it needs to be a massive improvement for them to get back into it. And does that change Jude Bellingham's plans? You know, even if he had some sort of agreement with Liverpool, which a lot of people say he does, but it would make sense. And you know, this is a perfect example of what we were just talking about: is that you reach the Champions League, and then you're in the mix for all these top players. You know, you start, you know, and you know, we were expecting this stage to happen after 3 or 4 years, maybe, Pete. Yep. And it's happened after like just over a year. You know, and that's incredible. And again, I want to give the credit mostly to Eddie Howe, but obviously to how the club is being run. You know, they did not panic. They did not go for massive money signings that didn't fit in the style. They went with the players that Eddie Howe wanted, everybody who fits into the system, and it served, you know, the team on the pitch so well, you know.
Speaking of that, the video from the social media of Anthony Gordon signing, and I thought it was clever to acknowledge the spat, which happens in every game between Anthony Gordon, Fabian Schär, and of course Kieran Trippier. They acknowledge that. But interestingly enough, deep in, if you dig down deep into that, there's Gordon greets Fabian Schär and says to him, "I hope that you stick up for me now. I'm your teammate," like that. And Schär says to him, without thinking, "You have to earn that." That just shows that the togetherness of this current squad. And this is why Eddie Howe is very, very particular about who comes into that squad. Keep your eyes and ears open for the news on Jude Bellingham. Don't forget, friend of Black and White, Lee Clark, knows Jude Bellingham very well. So I'm sure he will be in his ear if that time comes. Listen, Ali, back down to earth with a bang. We've got domestic matters to sort out at the weekend. The team will be looking at a home game against West Ham as a really big opportunity at home, a team who aren't firing on all cylinders, for another 3 points, a valuable 3 points.
Yeah, I think, again, you know, James said it early in the show. We've been saying it week after week, and all our guests have been saying it. Just at the moment, it feels like whoever Newcastle come up against, in whatever circumstances, they seem to find the answers, you know.
But we need goals, AK. I'm worried that we're on short supply.
Yeah. And you know, I think West Ham just had a couple of decent games. You know, they beat Everton and they won in the cup. So, I don't know if you could say they've turned the corner, but look, my slight worry, which I don't think the fans will allow the team that, but my slight worry is like after sort of the euphoria of reaching Wembley, might be a bit of a come down, and you know, like both mentally and physically. I mean, you know, it took a lot of effort out of them. Bruno won't be playing either. You might think that maybe the level of performance might be like a little bit tired. They might drop a little bit, but you know what? I think there's not much chance of the atmosphere being flat, you know, or
anything.
They'll
still be there from the other night.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like all the flags will still be out and all that. I think if Newcastle play to anywhere near the level that they've been showing, should be another win.
Isak, start for you. Callum Wilson's approaching 10 games without a goal.
Yes, I think it's time. Well, we actually said that a while back as well. I think it's time that he's given a run in the team. I think a couple of the games that he's come on, he's done well. Created that goal against Southampton in the first leg, I think. I believe it was him.
Yep.
It is a problem. It hasn't really been. Look, the goals not going in, it is a problem. I don't think it's affected results too much so far, but it's best to fix it before it starts to affect results, you know. So I think it's time Isak comes on. And look, I mentioned this, you and I were talking in one of the episodes recently. I said, look, these days with the number of substitutions, you know, almost everybody does get some sort of run out, you know. So, you know, being, you know, put on the bench for a couple of games, it's not
like
it
used
to be.
Yeah, totally, totally. Brilliant.
It's not what it used to be. It's like, you know, it's not like, you know, you're shunning a player and all that. You're just like, take him a little bit out of the firing line, put in someone else. It doesn't work and you bring him on. He's probably come on anyway, you know, with all these substitutions. It gives managers a lot of like flexibility with these things. And and also like in signing players as well, the more you have players, top quality players sitting on the bench, it's not like what it used to be where players would like have to wait his turn. I think everybody gets a run out these days.
Bit like our old five-a-side team, Ali, where we used to put a hand up and come off for 5 minutes because there were so many subs willing to come on and help us. Listen, you touched on it. Bruno G is out for 3 games, rightly so. I don't think there was any malice in the tackle. But in today, it was a dangerous tackle. Rightly so, shown red. Let's get that out of the system. I've spoken to a few biased black and whites, and including in this household, who said it was not even a yellow card. I think we get past that. Look, minus Bruno, a chance to freshen it up a little bit. Not saying that they'll miss Bruno, of course they will. But what I mean by freshen it up is, you know, he's struggling, Eddie, to try and fit in these Mavericks and diamonds that he has. So this is a real chance for a Saint Maximin or someone else to come in place of Bruno at the weekend and shine.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know, like, looking at it, I know a couple of Newcastle fans who looked at it like from a very, like, very much a glass half full. And they said, well, at least no chance of him getting injured between now and the cup final, you know, comes back fresh for the cup final.
Great point.
That's one way of looking at it. But, you know, more importantly, the point you're making about bringing other players in, absolutely, bringing in Alan or bringing on, you know, Anthony Gordon, really, you know, like giving him a couple of runouts as well. It'll be, we're not suggesting Eddie Howe will use the next few games by any stretch to, you know, to experiment, but you know, it's been forced on him.
There'll be that opportunity for change,
and it's an opportunity for change, and yeah, I'm sure he'll find the right balance between going for those 3 points as they will go for. I know they play Liverpool just before the cup final as well, so there's big games coming up, and Newcastle will certainly take them seriously. But yeah, in terms of Bruno not being there, could be a blessing in disguise.
And now the famed part of the show, which people actually message me about, Mystic Khaled. It's become one of our favourite parts of the show. An Ali Khaled prediction for the weekend. I think he's on an unbeaten run as long as Newcastle.
Right, I'm going to go for Newcastle 2, West Ham 1.
Yeah, and take that. The games are tight. Of course, they're tight up at the top, but all these games are tight at the moment. It would be nice to see Callum Wilson on the score sheet. It's just the sort of club that he can get back on track against. He likes playing against those London clubs. Listen, Ali, as always, brilliant. Great to have James on from the Dubai Mags, listening to all of that, the war flags recreated here in the UAE. Links, hopefully. Hopefully, we're going to be the stepping stone for our Saudi Magpies and Dubai Magpies to get together, thanks to us here at Black and White. Listen, Ali, we'll see you next week on the next episode from us here at Black and White with Arab News. That's it. How are the lads?